Hi, I'm Kristen Lee, news writer for Search Health IT, and I'm here at AHIMA 2016 in Baltimore with David Holtzman, Vice President of Compliance Strategies at Synergistic, a healthcare IT consulting firm. We're going to be talking about health information privacy, management of PHI, and more. So thank you so much for speaking with me today, David.
Well, thank you very much, Christine. I'm so happy to be here.
Great. So my first question for you is, what are the top health information privacy policy and compliance issues today?
Well, I think a lot of what we are seeing in healthcare today is being driven by the spate of malware attacks and cybersecurity incidents, which are finding the ability to infiltrate information systems that aren't very well protected. And because you can't have privacy without security, we're seeing a lot of the confidentiality and the availability of health information being destroyed. So cybersecurity is a baseline consideration in how are we ensuring that we're keeping patients' information private and available to us so that we can both protect the individual from unauthorized access to their information, as well as to continue our mission of care and ensure patient safety, because we need to make sure the information is going to be there when we need it, and that we can have confidence in the integrity of the information, that some cyber criminal hasn't come in and made changes to health information that we can't recognize.
Great, yeah. Good points. And so what do you think are the best technologies to address these issues?
Well, I think some of the best technologies can be described as preventive steps that if we put in place, it will allow us to prevent infiltration as well as recognize it when it's happening. So, for example, at the perimeter, we could have next-generation firewalls so that email and web gateways are capable of identifying and stopping malicious content and attachments. Another key technology that we could use is strengthening access, making it harder for attackers to get access or credentials with elevated privileges. It means having two-factor authentication for critical applications, databases, and administrative privileges, and as well as remote access and making privileges non-persistent through vaulting. In other words, if someone needs enhanced access or advanced administrative privileges to access an information system, when you give them the keys to the kingdom, make sure it's a one-time use key so that it expires once the activity is completed and it is no good to a cyber hacker who could infiltrate the system or attempt to use it for some other purpose. And then lastly, by enhancing detection capabilities by deploying advanced malware detection solutions, technologies that read in the network or information traffic so it's capable of recognizing anomalous signatures and blocking and reviewing it prior to letting it through or stopping it altogether. These are heuristic type solutions that are take an advanced look and not just rely on the characteristics or the failure to recognize who the good guy is. It takes an opportunity to examine the good guy, the bad guy, and to wall off or quarantine those that it doesn't recognize. These heuristic solutions don't rely simply on the experience of others in identifying signatures of already identified malware. It allows you to hold off, containerize, if you will, those things you don't recognize so that you can test them in sort of a quarantined environment to check out whether they are good or bad before you allow them into your system.
Mm-hmm. Right, great. Well, and so do you think healthcare organizations are mismanaging PHI? And if so, how are they mismanaging it?
Well, that's a pretty strong indictment. I don't think there's mismanagement. I believe that everyone has the best of intent. Most everyone in healthcare has the best of intentions. I think a better way to approach it is to ensure that organizations invest in the tools and technologies that they need to protect their information systems. But I also see that we're developing an industry of haves and have-nots. Many hospitals, many large organizations, and academic medical centers are investing in developing the resources to protect their information systems against unwanted intrusion and the ability to recognize malware attacks when they happen. But the majority of healthcare is still provided by small independent healthcare providers like physician offices, advanced practice nurses, primary care clinics. And these organizations in our current healthcare model, they don't have the fiscal resources or the human resources to be able to invest in the appropriate people to manage information systems or the technologies that are needed to meet the ever-evolving and ever-advancing challenge to protect information systems. So I think as an industry, we need to look for and develop solutions that are achievable and are approachable by healthcare organizations at every level. It's only then, because of our interconnected nature of healthcare, if we don't work to secure the links of the least of us who are able to secure their information systems, that leaves the rest of us all exposed. Think of it as a two-car garage. Sure, we've done a great job on one garage bay, and we've been able to close the door and be able to carefully secure everything in that garage bay. But we've left the other garage door wide open, and we still haven't found a way to put in place the appropriate resources or make them available to secure all of us so that we can make sure that all of our information systems, regardless of who we link up with, are secure and have some confidence in them.
Right, great. So with the fact that, certain healthcare organizations, mainly kind of the smaller, maybe physician healthcare organizations, might not be able to afford all technologies. Kind of with that in mind, do you have any suggestions in general or maybe for the people that can afford these technologies to help them better manage PHI?
Well, while there are technologies that could help them, for example, ensuring that your portable devices, like your laptops, your smartphones, your thumb drives, ensuring that they are encrypted is a cost-effective measure. Making sure that you use commercially available antivirus and malware solutions that are widely available at low or no cost through any number of widely accepted vendors. But I also think that there are cultural and behavioral activities that could take place that are low cost and actually allow you to change the culture. For example, most internet service providers now provide two-factor authentication, which is an important and vital and effective tool in lowering the risk of inappropriate access to your information system. Another appropriate tool is to prevent your employees and your staff from accessing their personal email accounts through their employer provided workstations or devices or laptops. Because it is these employee or personal based accounts that have the lowest security and also are just as prone to social engineering or phishing activities, and that's also another activity that many organizations can engage in to train their employees to recognize what a typical fake email or phishing communication looks like, and to train folks to be careful and to be suspicious when opening emails from folks that they may recognize or may not recognize that contains a link asking them to click on something. Any time you receive an email communication that contains a hyperlink and encourages you to explore that hyperlink, it should be treated with suspicion. And I think by raising awareness at all levels of our organization, we can, whether it's a small organization or a large organization, we can begin to change the culture and begin to combat this scourge of cybercrime and what we find to be ransomware attacks.
Right, great. And, you know, what are the regulatory changes and kind of corresponding legal considerations that health IT experts and healthcare organizations should be keeping in mind? And how does it kind of affect health IT?
Well, I can't. I'd be loath to speak to the legal considerations because I'm not a litigator, but certainly some of the positive policy activities that have been going on is a recognition by the federal government that that smaller organizations, that the healthcare industry needs specific help and has specific challenges and concerns that are unique and require specific responses. So the recent activities in which HHS has developed an advisory council for cybersecurity that has as its membership professionals in the healthcare industry, information technology and security professionals, and consumers coming together and talking about these issues. Most recently, there was a pair of grants of several hundred thousand dollars to develop the capability and programs of the National Health ISAC down at Cape Kennedy. And I think that that is an excellent investment, long overdue, and provides an opportunity for public and private partnership to further provide tools and resources and case studies of what works that is approachable and achievable by smaller and medium-sized organizations in healthcare. And it also provides an opportunity to share lessons learned that have been perfected by the larger organizations in healthcare, like academic medical centers. And then lastly, I think that the work of HHS, along with the efforts of NIST, to develop tools and resources that are transparent and publicly available, I think that goes a long way. I think for too long, the healthcare industry was looking for the development of proprietary tools that really was the antithesis of what we needed. What we need is transparency and sharing, not a culture of pay to play and creating this environment of haves and have nots. So I think we are making progress. I don't think it's an easy solution. I don't think it's going to be a fast solution. So in addition to these policy changes, I think it's going to require changing the culture at every organization to raise awareness and put in place those technologies and changes in processes that are that help solve the problem in incremental way.
Great. Thank you so much, David, and thank you for speaking with me today, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the convention.
Well, thank you.